Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
This morning, I want us to look at what I believe to be a strange question that is posed by Jesus out of the context of John chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 9. And as you are opening your Bibles and reading those verses that are presented before us, you're going to find is that there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus and His disciples have come to Jerusalem for this feast. That was customary of the Jews, and Jesus and His disciples, being Jews, they also are participants in those type of activities. And what we find also is there in Jerusalem, there is a pool that, according to the Hebrew terminology, is Bethesda. And in that, we find is that this pool of water carried significance amongst the people of that day. It was believed that there was an angel that was sent down from God and stirred the waters. And the first person into the waters, that they would be able to be healed of whatever type of sickness or infirmity that they were dealing with. In regard to the matter, the scripture says that there was a great multitude of people with sicknesses there. In fact, people who were blind, a multitude of people who were blind were there. There were people who were lame as well as people who were paralyzed. And what were they doing? They were sitting or laying around the pool and waiting on the pool water to be stirred. And according to their school of thought, according to their belief system, if they were able to be first into the water, they would be able to be cured and to go on about their life and to be reconnected into society. So I lay all that to point out is that these people, a lot of them, they were not dealing with something that was new in their life, but rather they were dealing with long-term illnesses. And we also understand is that they were very desperate. They were reaching out to any measure that they could possibly turn to in order for them to be able to be cured, for them to be able to go out and engage in life or into society once again. But also, as we think with regard to the context of what's going on here, we are introduced as Jesus is speaking with one specific individual who has had an infirmity, the scripture identifies, for a very long time. How long had this individual had this infirmity? For 30-some years. And with regard to the matter, what we find is that Jesus approaches this individual. I find it interesting that he approaches this individual versus going to the multitude of other people who were there. And he went to this individual and he simply said to him this question, "Do you want to be made well?" Well, sure he did. Who wouldn't want to be made well? And what we learn in regard to the context is that Jesus informs this individual, because of this man's desire to be well, he informed him that he is now well for him to take up his bed and to walk. The Jews who were there present and the leaders had an issue with that because it was on the Sabbath. And that was not the only time in which Jesus dealt with people who were dealing with illnesses, who were dealing with situations in their life on the Sabbath, and he was there for them. A number of times in and through our study of the life and teachings of Jesus on Wednesday nights, we have come into context where that Jesus did this. And what Jesus is showing is that it doesn't matter when he nor when we come in contact with people who are dealing with issues in their life. Whenever they're dealing with struggles in their life, we need to do all that is within our power to do to be there for them. It doesn't matter what time of the day. It doesn't matter, for that matter, what day it is. In fact, I'm reminded of what Paul said in connection with this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, "As you therefore have opportunity," doesn't give us a time or a day, "as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith." That is one lesson that we can take away from the context of what's going on here today. But friends, also, I believe that there are some other things that we can learn as we think about the question itself that our Lord posed to this individual. And these things certainly not only were applicable for him, but also applicable for our lives as well. To begin with, I want us to break it down into segments and to focus on some words here. To begin, he says, "Do you want?" The word "want" carries with it the idea is that salvation is extended unto all of mankind. When we think about this guy wanting, it carries with it that he has a desire. It means that he has a passion. Do you have a desire to be made well? Do you have a passion? Does your will to be well overrule the infirmity that you're dealing with? Are you willing to go to whatever length is necessary in order for you to be able to have your infirmity taken care of? My friends, as we think with regard to what this man was dealing with and the things that we deal with in our lives from a physical standpoint, I believe that everyone that is here within the sound of my voice today or listening to us on radio or watching us on television would agree is that there is a sickness that we all face that is much greater than any physical infirmity that we will ever deal with in our lives, and that sickness is sin. And if we would take and to apply this from the context and apply it then over to the sin side of this matter, what Jesus is identifying for us is that if we realize is that we have sin in our lives, do we really and truly want that taken care of? Do we really and truly have a desire? Do we have a passion? Do we have a will for that sin to be taken away from us versus continuing to live therein? And you know, as we look to the context of what's going on here, one would say, well, this man has been dealing with this infirmity for 30-some years. Certainly has a will. Certainly his passion to overcome it would be greater than any obstacle that he would face if he were to go on in regard to the context or the situation that he's in. And then you would look to us and we would say, well, surely every individual who realizes, really and truly comes to grips with the fact that we have sinned and that sin separates us from God, surely our want would be greater than anything else that would keep us in that situation. But my friends, let me be quite frank with you, and you know this, is that still we find is that a majority will never want or seek God's salvation. The scripture actually says in the book of Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and verse 14 that the way to heaven is narrow and the way to destruction is broad. And he says with regard to those who come to the Lord, he says few will follow him. But he says in that broad and that way that leads to destruction, he says many there go by that. And we understand from not only what the Lord teaches us there, but also from what Paul's message to Timothy and the other apostles write, is that salvation was certainly extended to everyone, whosoever will may come, but still not everyone in the first century accepted God's bidding. And that still remains the same even to this very day or this very hour. You and I as Christians, we want every soul to be saved. Amen? We want the church to grow not only spiritually, but we want the church to grow numerically. Not strictly for the sake of numbers, but because we understand that those numbers represent souls and that someday every soul will stand before God. And yet at the same time, no matter how much we want it, no matter how much our will is to reach out to people, and that will, our want, ought to be great in that. Amen? But still, we're limited as to whether or not people really and truly want to be made well by the Lord. So, do you want what it is that Jesus has to offer? But then also, I want us to go back and I want us to look also into this context where he says, do you want? We just talked about the want of it. Now we're going to focus on the you. Do you want to be made well? You see, from this we learn is that salvation is a personal matter. Salvation is not something that we can push off on our families and God be pleased with that. Salvation is not something that we inherit. I know that sometimes I speak with people and I ask them, what religious affiliation are you? And they'll say, well, I'm a Baptist. And I say, well, why are you a Baptist? And they say, well, my mom and my dad, my grandparents and my family, they've been in the Baptist church all these years. Or I'm this or I'm that. And it's according to my heritage. And my friends, let me tell you this. I don't care what religious affiliation you are. If you're in that religious affiliation because of the fact that you're walking in an inherited faith, you need to go back and read the Bible. Because number one, it does matter what faith you believe in. We've got to have our faith drawn from the Bible, and if you're a part of a man-made church, that's not going to get you to heaven. But in regard to the matter too, you've got to own your faith for yourself. Because salvation is indeed a very personal matter. And the Scripture says that whenever we stand before God in judgment, that we're not going to stand there collectively as a group and God say, you know, this group over there, you're lost, you're going to hell. Or this group over there, over here, you know, you guys as a group, you were good, you're going to go to heaven. But rather what the Bible shows us is that every single person individually, personally, we will stand before God to give an account of our lives. And having said all of that, let me say this. Obeying God to please others does not give salvation. I know that I, through the years, have spoken with some in the Lord's church and asked them, what led you to become a Christian? And I remember asking that whenever I was in my early 20s to a person who was in their teens. As best I can remember, they were around 16, 17 years of age. And it was a guy. And I asked him, I said, what is it that led you to become a Christian? And he says, I did it because my mom and dad wouldn't get off my back. There's another situation that somebody was sharing with me that they asked this individual, a male again, they asked this guy who was in his 30s, I believe it was, as the story was told to me, they said, why did you become a Christian? And the guy said, because my wife was always nagging at me to become a Christian. And I've heard of cases where the people say, I became a Christian because that's what somebody else wanted me to do. Or I became a Christian because it was popular and it opened me up for a number of opportunities. Doors were open that I might be able to get this job or that job. My friends, if we become a Christian for any other reason other than for the fact that we personally want to become a Christian, and we understand all of the blessings and the consequences, the blessings of becoming a Christian and the consequences of not being a Christian from a spiritual standpoint, if we do it for any other reason than that, then, my friends, we're not going to be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. Because the Bible identifies as that not only is it a personal matter, but personally, it must be done from the heart. And I'm reminded of what Paul mentioned in regard to this matter with those at Rome. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 3, he says that, to begin with, they couldn't continue in sin that grace might abound. But rather, he identifies in that context that they were planted with Christ in baptism in the likeness of his death, and they were raised a new creation to walk in newness of life. And if you go on in that same context of Romans chapter 6 all the way down to verse 17, he says, and he praises them in this, is that you have obeyed from the heart. And my friends, do you want to be made well from the heart? Do you want the salvation that Christ offers us, the forgiveness that God extends to us in obedience to salvation or in obedience to the Lord's commands in order to receive salvation? Do you really and truly want that personally for yourself? But also I want us to focus in on the latter part of that where he says, do you want to be made? Do you want to be made well? What do we learn from this? Salvation is not something that we can earn by ourselves. It's not something that man can look to himself and say, okay, I realize that I sin and fall short of the glory of God. God identifies that to me in Romans chapter 3 and verse 3 or verse 10, as well as Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I realize all that, and therefore I'm going to do my very best to stay away from sin. That's good. Don't get me wrong. By all means, all of us ought to do everything that is within our power to do to turn our lives around and to stay away from sin. But to say that I'm going to just do that and that alone, and I'm going to work from this point forward to be a good person, and surely God's going to be good with all of that. My friends, that's not the way that it goes. what we understand is no man is capable of redeeming himself. There are things that we must do, but no man or woman for that matter is able to do anything self-meriting, self-deserving, self-defined in order for them to be able to receive justification in the sight of our God. It doesn't work like that. You say, well, what are you saying? Jesus makes eternal life possible. And it's only because of what Jesus has done is that now salvation is able to be extended unto everyone. And therefore, we must do what the Lord commands us to do in order then for God to work and to make us right in His sight. You see, God cleanses us in our obedience. Yes, there's a part that we play, but at the same time, it's only available because of God and because of what God does on our behalf for us whenever we submit to Christ in baptism and whenever we strive each and every day of our life to walk faithfully before Him. So do you want to be made well? You see, it recognizes the fact that God makes us this way whenever we comply with His commandments to obey Him. But my friends, also note what is said here in this context. He says, do you want to be made well? Well, what's that mean? You see, salvation is signified in regard to the well here. And salvation in this matter identifies one's spiritual wellness. Whenever we are saved, whenever our sins are forgiven, whenever we're counted as a child of God, what God is showing us is that we are well with Him. I said at the very onset of the lesson is that we are all sick with sin, and that sin separates us. If we have salvation, we're no longer sick with sin. We all still sin and fall short of the glory of God. But as long as we walk in the light, we're able to maintain the fellowship with God because the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, saints are made well in Jesus. And the way in which we're made well in Jesus is because we're clothed in Christ whenever we submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever we put our will aside to live like the world lives, and whenever we embrace the will of God, and we develop a faith and a love for God that is unparalleled to any other love that we will have in this life. And then based out of all that, we put ourselves under God. And we say to ourselves from that moment forward, I'm no longer going to live for myself. Because if I do, I cannot have a relationship with God. And if I do, it's only going to get me back into the state of which I was in before, and that is to be separated from God. And from that point forward then, the person is submissive unto God by keeping His will. And therefore, God keeps us well in salvation from that point forward. So this morning I ask, as Jesus asked the individual there at the pool, do you want to be made well? I'm not talking about physically. If you're dealing with a physical infirmity, a sickness, if you're dealing with some sort of an ache or pain, let me know and I'll be praying for you by all means. But at the same time, go to the doctor, have those things checked out. And if they prescribe medication, I'm going to encourage you, maybe take that medication. The question I'm asking today deals with the spiritual side of things. Do you have sin in your life? Do you want that sin forgiven? Do you want the wellness that God is extending you in Christ? If so, why not take advantage of the opportunity He gives us this very hour?